Bear Podcast, the podcast for Bears and Cubs, episode 272.
Comments.
Not yet. Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. This is Nard.
And this is Ray. Ooh, squirrel.
Bear! Yeah, you just watched Up, didn't you? Okay.
I just watched that this weekend, so I cried a little tear.
Yeah, the first part was kind of, it was a little bit of a tearjerker, yeah.
Yeah, and this is the best part about it. Talking about it last night with the roommate, Chad, he's like, I didn't understand. Why was it so sad? And I was like, Chad, that's because you're a heartless, evil bitch.
Poor Chad.
Never know.
Let him listen to this. You can hear that.
Your evilness.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Well, anyway, welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. This is a podcast
Nard.
Based here in Houston. No. Yeah, we already introduced ourselves, so it's okay. But anyway, this is a special episode because we have a special guest. It's Dave from Comic-Con. He's the marketing director.
The marketing director.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He joined us. So, okay, let me ask you, Ray, are you all set for Comic-Con?
Probably not, but I'm ready to go. I got my tickets booked. I got all that set up. I started working on the itinerary of all the stuff that's going on during Comic-Con. Of course, what really, really burns my asshole besides a 3-foot fire is the fact they're doing all the Torchwood stuff on Sunday, and I have to leave Sunday morning to try to make sure I get back.
That's
so that just burns
best.
My butt. So, but I am going to try to catch the Green Lantern. They're doing a Green Lantern showing of the Green Lantern comic cartoon movie. So hopefully I'll get to see that. It's supposed to be a big deal. There's a couple other cool things going on I want to try to get into. So I was going through the list today and I was like, okay, that sounds cool. Oh, that sounds cool. So Friday should be interesting because it's Star Wars Day this
Star
year.
Star Wars Day. Okay.
Yeah, so.
And, I'm excited. I'm so excited for you. You're going to get to go to Comic-Con.
I get to see our buddy Carl of the show. I talked to him some last night. And getting all the plans worked out about that. And
is he going to be our producer when you record there or something?
Maybe. Hopefully he'll help me out. Hopefully he can come to everything. I know he's going to try to take the days off and stuff. So I hope he can come. Mr. Cena Grace, I'm supposed to meet up with him.
Yep, Cena Grace. Oh, you really have to talk to him about his book, Cedric Hallows.
Yeah.
In Dial M.
Maybe I can get an exclusive interview, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Get an update stuff. And let's see, who else? Get to see our buddy Michael from Wildstorm Comics, who is a great guy. The only thing I hadn't seen is anything about Heroes yet.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. Get to see all those things. Ah, I'm missing it again. So, well, I'll be on my trip by that time, so I'll be in the middle
and
of.
And hopefully I'll meet up with some of the podcast guys, that are like Kevin from Geek Roundtable and whoever else we got out there. What are those guys called? 619?
619 Bearcast.
619 Bearcast. Yeah, those guys. Hopefully I can meet up with some of them. And hopefully I actually get to meet Mark. I'm sure he's going to be busy as hell. It's a hard, busy time for them. So I know this week they're actually moving into the convention center. It's going to be busy for them. But yeah, hope to go eat at the Bear restaurant and have some good breakfast.
It's a Bear restaurant in San Diego?
Yes, there's pictures of it. The Wolf Water Cub was.
Wolf Water Cub.
I got his picture from there, Michael.
Oh, that part. Okay, I see.
Yeah,
I remember now. So you're gonna be there. Where are you staying?
I'm crashing at Carl's house. He's got me an air mattress there. So.
Ah, okay.
I'll be crashing at his place, and
that is so nice.
And since I'm single this year, maybe other places. Who knows?
That's good. But anyway, so what do you say? We get on with the interview with Dave.
And here's Dave.
Hey, everyone. This is Nard.
And this is Ray.
Yes, and joining us today is Dave from Comic-Con. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. It's great to get in contact with you. And I know Ray has been talking to you lately, and we are very excited about Comic-Con that you guys are involved
with. Well, I'm excited about Comic-Con. You're not going, remember?
No, I'm not. I can't go this year. So, yeah.
Well, you'll have to take lots of pictures for him.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, well, sure. I do videos for him, so he gets, he gets it that way. Yeah, we do a whole video podcast at Comic-Con. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, he's going to be there. Okay, Ray.
All right, Dave. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, you know, and how in the world did you get involved with Comic-Con?
Well, you know, it's funny. I started attending Comic-Con when I was a kid, just as a fan of an attendee. One of the things that interested me most was I've always had an interest in film. And Comic-Con has an expansive exhibit floor. And on that floor are any numbers of publishers of comic books, things of that nature. But there's always been an element of people selling different kinds of pop culture memorabilia. Back way back in the day, and I think it was 1978, my first convention, wasn't anywhere near as big as it is now, but it was a place where you could go and find old movie posters and things like that, and that just intrigued me, and I started attending, and then several years later, I was working on a campaign, on a political campaign, and a friend of mine was working for the show and said, "Hey, you know, do you can you write some press releases for us?" And I said, "Sure." Now, you know, my involvement with this political campaign was how do I put it? It was, for somebody as young as I was, I had a great deal of responsibility because the campaign really had no money. Mm-hmm. So, if somebody was willing to do something, they'd say, "Great, you're in charge of that." And somehow I chose media. One thing led to another, started writing press releases for Comic-Con, and continued that from year to year until, oh gosh, probably the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, when it was just too much to do. So we tried hiring a PR firm, but couldn't really find a PR firm that really understood our industry so much, and certainly not the show. So in 1994, they asked if I wanted to come on as their marketing director, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, cool. So you are a full-time employee of Comic-Con then?
Yeah, we have about 15 full-time employees for as large of an organization as it is. The actual full-time staff is fairly small. That is supported by a 13-member board of directors. There is a committee of about 80 people who do various and sundry different departments during the show, mm-hmm. and then that is augmented by about 3,000 volunteers over the 4-day weekend.
Wow. Can't imagine how so many people involved.
Well, you know, one of the great things about the show is we try to put on the type of event that we ourselves want to attend, and I think that's really kept it fun. But it does take a tremendous amount of people. I don't know that we have fully grasped the impact that the show has had. I mean, you know, I helped to coordinate the Comic-Con logo in various TV shows or movies or stuff like that. But, you know, it's still the same people, you know, who were here, you know, 20 years ago. And I don't know that we realize its impact necessarily, because it's just a fun show for us to do and attend. But it does take a lot of people to make it happen.
Wow.
Yeah, so y'all have an average of what? How many people attend every year?
Last year we had 126,000 people.
Wow.
Now, our very first show in 1970, we had 300 people. And we were in the basement of a downtown hotel right on Broadway. And we've grown, obviously, you know, each year since. And we sold out of passes last year about a week before the show. This year we sold out of passes 2 months before the show, and we've had a limited attendance because we've just maximized our space at the convention center. There is no more space to grow there.
Yeah.
This is the 40th Comic-Con.
Yes.
Yes, and anything special for this year?
Yeah, one of the great things that we've decided to do, which is something we've never done before, and it was certainly a daunting task, is we actually published a book, and it's a kind of a coffee table book,
mm-hmm.
and it's basically a retrospective of the last 40 years. And one of the things we're going to do in support of that this year is invite back a lot of the people who were involved in Comic-Con over the past 40 years. So past presidents, committee heads, people who, you know, handled different departments. And it's going to really be, I think, a lot of fun to see basically, you know, how things progressed.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to, for me, I'm excited to meet, you know, to see some old friends that I haven't seen in years. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And the book is very cool because it has a bunch of pictures of, you know, basically when we were all kids. And looking through it, I got to tell you, it doesn't seem like it was, you know, for me, you know, some almost 30 years ago. Some of the stuff seems like it was just yesterday, but boy, hairstyles and clothes certainly have changed.
That's right. Wow. So. Yeah.
Well, Dave, you know, you say you have, you know, last year you had 125,000 people roughly show up. You know, the one of the reasons the Bear Podcast went there is because, you know, we were told it's unofficially a bear run because probably out of those 125,000, 50,000 of them are probably bears, but
yep.
Straight or gay, whichever way, or bi, whichever way you want to go. But it is quite the event to go.
I heard.
Watch.
And I'm jealous now. I can't go. I want to go. Maybe next year I would. Yeah.
Well, one of the great things about the show is the diversity of people who come. I mean, you know, I think for a long time it was considered very much a fringe group.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's people who have an interest in all things comics and movies, television, games, toys, pop culture, really, fantasy literature. You know, and somebody had once said to me something that I think is so true, and that is it's an amazingly harmonious group of people who get together during the 4.5 days of Comic-Con each summer. And this group of people may not necessarily hang out together at another time during the year. I mean, you know, whether it's, you know, gay people, straight people, whether it's a Christian group or the SCA, the people who do armor, whether it's, you know, a high school football jocks or, you know,
LARPers,
microbiologists.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's interesting that I think a lot of them, you know, we wouldn't necessarily all hang out together, but for 4 days, we appreciate, you know, common interests, and everyone seems to get along fairly well.
Yeah.
Well,
awesome.
What really blew me away last year is, you know, driving up, and of course the lines out lined up five or six blocks down the street of people getting in and lining up for in the morning, and all that stuff is like, you know,
was last year your first year?
Last year is my first year. I've wanted to go ever since I was a kid.
Really?
Ever since I was a teenager, and I finally, you know, bit the dust said last year, and was like, okay, I'm doing this. Screw it, I'm going. So I went, and a good friend of mine lives out there, and you know, we went together, and we just had a blast. So, and he knows a couple people.
Was it what you thought it would be?
It was so much more.
Really?
I mean, that's what I was talking about. I was driving around, and I was like looking in, and I was talking to my friend. I said, you know, I might be a gay man, but where in the hell did all these hot girls come from? Because they sure didn't hang out with geeks when I was in high school. Because
one of my favorite cartoon strip artists is the gentleman by the name of Chris Knight. And he has, for a long time, he had a strip in the San Francisco paper. He may still. Boy, if he was listening to this, he'd chide me for not being up to date on his career. But he had a really wonderful strip that...
Chris Knight.
Okay. I think it's Chris Knight. Yeah, his name is Chris Knight. Who gave me a copy, a huge blow up that I have on my wall, of a strip that he did when he came to Comic-Con a few years back. It happened to coincide with Gay Pride Weekend.
Oh, nice.
And it was this great, great comic strip that basically said, you know, how can you tell when it's Gay Pride Weekend in San Diego or Comic-Con. And it says, you know, there are guys in spandex with bulging muscles. And it showed like a superhero guy. And then it showed like this hot guy. Or, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't know what people are saying when you're crossing the street and you see a guy in a car yelling to somebody, you know, get out of the street, you fairy. And this gay guy's like, what the hell? But right behind him is a guy actually dressed up as a fairy.
Uh-huh.
So it's very cute. And I think it really... kind of speaks to the diversity of the show.
Very diverse. There's a fine line.
Mm-hmm. There is. And then, like I said, everybody seems to get along well.
Yeah.
Well, I interviewed these six guys and a couple of them from San Diego last year. And, you know, I just ran into them down on the vendor floor. And I was like, what are y'all guys doing? They're like, well, we're cruising. Okay. So the straight guys don't realize what's going on. The gay ones doing. We're just having a blast. So.
Well, you know, there's a couple of gay comics panels. And yes, for a long time, I haven't looked at the schedule yet, and and there's usually like a mixer afterwards as well. And yes, I know one of the clubs in San Diego usually has a superhero party. I think it's typically, if it's not the weekend before, then it may actually be the weekend of. One of the challenges that we had after that one year that we had Pride and Comic-Con on top of each other was it was really difficult. It was difficult for both organizations because hotels are at such a premium.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Now we try, Pride has been very nice about trying to coordinate their festivities so that they don't coincide directly with, you know, Comic-Con. And I think this year Pride is either it's the week before. So it's, you know, if you come down for a week early, I mean, you'll just have a great deal of fun.
Oh,
nice. Yeah, I think it's kind of what happened last year because my friend Carl, who lives out there, was like, yeah, I got Pride this weekend and Comic-Con next weekend. Gets, so, yeah.
That's a lot better, just one festivity after the other, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, it takes a little, the older I get, it takes a little bit longer to recover, yeah. But it's still a lot of fun.
Yeah. But since you've been concentrating on Comic-Con, you don't go to any other con anymore, do you?
I do, actually.
Oh, you do?
One of the things that's really great for me is now it's part of my job. You know, I always, you know, a lot of people from other conventions come to our convention. We go to other conventions, and for the most part, we have a pretty good relationship with them. And, you know, they see what we do and how we do stuff. We see what they do and how they do. You know, as any meeting planner, basically, you know, you try to find out if there's something you can learn from someone else. Mm-hmm. And it's also, you know, it's a great industry. It's something an industry, you know, we'd love to support. So, yeah, I'm lucky enough to travel around a bit. I haven't done much travel in the last, I'd say, year, but I'm hoping to do a little bit more of that, hit some of the conventions before the end of the year this year.
What is your main involvement with Comic-Con?
I'm the director of marketing and public relations, so I literally am the person who, you know, advertises the show. I'm also the spokesperson for the show, so I do interviews and stuff like that. And basically try to make sure that the brand for Comic-Con is reflected both accurately and hopefully, you know, positively. But, you know, I mean, you know, long lines and stuff like that are not always a positive. So, you know, we get some negative press every once in a while, too. But it's kind of my job to make sure that I can answer any questions that a reporter has about mm-hmm. the show. And I try to do that to the best of my ability. And it's something I really believe in. So it's really kind of an easy job.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Any big surprises this year you can announce for Comic-Con?
When will this air?
Oh, next week.
Okay. The rollout will already have happened, but I think you know, we have Peter Jackson. It Ooh. Looks like we're going to have James Cameron.
Oh, wow.
We have I think the cast from Twilight is coming.
Nice.
We're having awesome. we're having let me look here. We're having a presentation on Burn Notice. And I haven't seen the list yet, but I'm really hoping Jeffrey Donovan comes because I think he's, besides being terribly dreamy, is just really great on the show.
Oh,
so it should be a lot of fun. Again, a diversity of stuff and great comics programming and stuff. I mean, if you're a comics fan, this is the place to be. There's like every comic book publisher. You get to see, galleys and ash cans of comics that aren't even printed yet. You'd go to panels and talk to the artists and creators and writers to find out what they're planning, why they did this as opposed to that. It's just a lot of fun. I mean, it's 4 days, as you know, it's just 4 days of just packed information.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's wild. If, for any listener that hasn't been, if y'all can ever get there and go, I mean, you have to plan early to get tickets and stuff. But
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, one of the things I always say to people is, you know, you can talk about Comic-Con, you can see news reports about Comic-Con, but it's nothing like actually going to Comic-Con. And plan ahead. You know, one of the things that happened this year.
In a year, at least. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I try to tell people, you know, just, you know, check back with the website periodically. We're very good about updating that, letting you know when deadlines are coming and stuff. We sold out of passes, you know, 2 months in advance, but in San Diego, we're making some passes available on radio stations as giveaways. We're going to try to do a little bit of that in Los Angeles. And we're also selling some on eBay at, I think, face value or a few dollars above to cover the service costs.
Okay.
So we're trying to make some. If you really haven't, you know, gotten your passes yet, there's still a potential for being
able to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. I was worried about getting my press pass this year. I was like, oh, my God. I almost did it too late because I was like, oh, my God, I could go this year. You know, I need to get it done. But I got it. Now,
yeah,
this year I need to
One of the things we have, one of our challenges with press is we have over 3,000 members of the media who come to the show. Mm-hmm. And for us, really, our mainstream press really is podcasters and bloggers and things of that nature, because it is podcasters and bloggers who will probably talk about us throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bigger publications, probably newspapers or magazines, may only write about us once a year. So while other organizations, you know, and conventions may look at those as being their really, you know, most important press, for us, it really is the people who are in the trenches, the fans.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
True.
Hey, Dave.
I got to meet Stan Lee last year. So,
oh, Stan Lee. Oh, nice.
Good for you. That's awesome.
The only thing I got to find this year, I got to find that elusive press room that everybody kept telling me about. I was like, where is it? They're like,
well, here's the funny thing. There is a very small, sparse press room. One of these days, we're going to try to have to see if we can get a sponsor to add a little more to it, but it's a place where you can just basically sit down and you know, text or write or whatever. And when you come down to the show, ask us, and we'll give you the press room number. I don't know what it is right now. I tell you.
Ooh.
Oh, that's fine. It's last year somebody told me where it was, and I was like, I couldn't find it. And I was just like, oh well, I found a seat on the floor somewhere and sit down and do that.
Well, I have to tell you, one of the things about the center is that it's, you know, as big as a convention center is, and it's a nice sized convention center.
It's too
small for us. We've outgrown it, but yeah, it you know, there are a ton of rooms throughout the facility, all of which we use. And it's funny because, you know, somebody will say, oh, you know, I'm at so and so room, you know, I'll meet you down in the lobby in like 10 minutes. And I'm thinking, no. It's going to take about a half an hour to get there. It's not a small distance.
It's really big.
I don't think it hadn't been published last week in and I'll have to go check back and see if it's posted, the guide for Comic-Con that's online. I got to go print that out and start. Okay, if I got to choose between this showing or this artist, which one's going to be closer to me and which one can I actually do and go? Because
right.
You know, you have to get online, and I'll just like,
well, you know, it's a good thing to do that. I mean, a lot of people, you know, when they first, I don't know how, what your experience was when you first showed up, but a lot of people are kind of overwhelmed and just,
yeah. Well, I had it planned out. I couldn't do everything I wanted to, but I had backup plans for everything.
So. Good. Well, that's actually the way to do it. And just to let you know, we're gonna roll out the schedule in about, I think, 11:30, about an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
So,
I'll have to get it start planning.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, let me ask you. After all these years, you've done, you know, so many years of Comic Con. What is the most notable or memorable experience for you?
Two things, really. One is 1 year, many, many years ago, it was kind of hokey, William Shatner came down to promote a project he was working on. I don't remember what it
Price
was.
Line. No, it's not.
Yeah, exactly. Not, okay. No, it was many, many years before Price Line.
Oh, okay.
But he came down, he drove himself down, and then he parked in the back. And at the time, I was kind of in charge of, you know, ushering celebrities around and stuff. And you know what? I got to tell you, he was incredibly gracious, incredibly nice. He was doing a national interview at one point, and at that time, Comic-Con was still so small that a lot of people didn't understand who or what we were.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said to me at one point, "Hey, look, you know, this is national television. Is there anything I can do for you?" And I thought, "Well, you just being here and meeting the fans is one thing." But, you know, boy, if you could, you know, mention the name Comic-Con or something, or, you know, make sure we get a plug, because the program was going to air like the following week, I think, on Good Morning America or some show.
Uh-huh.
And he was amazingly gracious about that. I mean, he was, you know, made sure to say, you know, well, you know, Comic-Con isn't just this, it's this. And, you know, it was really, really nice at a time when nobody really knew who we were, and even fewer people, you know, cared to give us any mention. And it was all great, and he took off. And, you know, growing up, I used to watch Star Trek in reruns when I come home from school. Huge Star Trek fan. And it wasn't until, you know, about 5 minutes after he left the building, I thought,
oh my god, that was Captain Kirk. You know? And I totally peeked out, you know, thank goodness he left. But I was like, that was Captain Kirk. And how wonderful it was that he was as gracious and as kind and as nice of a guy as he was, because I think if he wasn't, I just would have been crushed, but he really was. And I think the other most memorable thing for me is something that happens every year. And this really does sound hokey, but I promise you it's very, very true.
Okay.
It takes a great deal of work to put the show on. And during the course of especially the week that we're at the Convention Center, all of our time is spent making sure that that problems don't turn into disasters. So it's really, you know, we're not enjoying programs. We're not doing that. We're just making sure that the thing holds together. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can forget that it's a fun event because you're working on the technical aspects of it. But I got to tell you, and I promise this is true, when you see a kid or when you see an adult or when you see a family or anybody that is having a great time or smiling or they got the comic book they wanted to get or they're sitting on the floor and talking with their friends about, you know, the stuff they have, that is so awesome for me. I mean, it's just, it's like, it really is. It's like you talking about, you know, coming to Comic-Con and it being more than you expected and being overwhelmed. How cool is that? How cool to work for an organization where people wait in line when the sun hasn't even come up yet to get inside. I mean, it's just awesome.
Or sit there and cry because they don't almost get into the heroes.
But there's a ton of other panels too, so.
Yeah. I went into it. Well,
and one of the fun things to do is, I don't know, I hope the guys during this, the Geek Roundtable, I went to there. Those guys have some of the great stories because they've all been volunteers forever. So
exactly.
Kevin,
and have you ever, I don't know if you like science fiction, but have you ever gone to Starship Smackdown?
I haven't been to that.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if we have it this year, but it's a panel that's moderated by these writers. And what they do is they say, okay, we're going to talk about which spaceship can kick another spaceship's butt. So everybody from the audience will say, like, you know, okay, you know, the Enterprise, or, you know, the spaceship from Lost in Space. One time it was the spaceship from Captain EO. I mean, it could be anything. And then everybody discusses, well, what is it about this spaceship that makes it so special, you know? And then what is it about, you know, like the Millennium Falcon? And then all of a sudden it's like, well, is Captain Kirk a better captain or is Han Solo a better captain? And it gets, you know, it sounds dry, but it's really very funny.
I think that totally slice geeky of sci-fi guy has got a two-month-long talk show out of that one, telephone show out of that. They switched it better.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is awesome.
Well, Dave, we appreciate you doing this for us today. I know we got to kind of wrap it up here.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure. Please stop by the press desk. I'd love to meet you.
Okay.
And, you know, if you know of any cool parties or anything, let me know because we rarely get invited because I think people figure we're too busy, which we are. Okay.
Yes, maybe. Well, one quick thing. Is there any dirt on Tyler you can tell? Because, we need to give a shout out.
Okay.
Is there any dirt you can tell me on Tyler that I can use while I'm there?
I do, and sadly, we're coming down to the end of the session here, or else I would just spew forth.
Okay.
No,
we'll
no,
have to talk when
guy
I get there, so you
guy
can give me the dirt on Tyler. So.
No, he's a great guy.
Well, thank you so
and
much.
And terribly cute, too, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
I mean, he could be a movie star. He's, like, you know, incredibly dashing. He's got those perfect set of teeth and, you know, a nice tan. And he's just,
he's quite
the looker.
Wow.
Okay.
Gonna meet this Tyler. What a to Comic-Con now.
He was in Houston about a month ago. He moved a friend down here from Washington.
Oh,
Seattle.
I missed that one. Oh.
I think so. That's where he's moving from, so.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you very much again, and I look forward to seeing you at the show, and I hope you have a really, really good time.
All right.
Okay, Dave. We appreciate all your time and all you guys' effort at Comic-Con.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That was a great interview with Dave.
I'm stoked.
I'm really so excited. That was oh, my God. You know what? That's one of the best interviews we've ever had. Yes, it's you know, him meeting William Shatner and all those stories that he could tell.
Yes.
I'm sure there's got to be more than he's got more stuff to tell. And well, you yourself are going to experience all of those.
Yes. Oh, well, the only thing this year is something. I think when the geek
geek
table.
Geek Roundtable.
Geek Roundtable does their thing, there's something else going on right after it. And it's just like, do I go to that and miss this? Or I don't know if I can miss this. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how it's looking.
Wow.
What the show's looking like this year. So.
Mm-hmm. But that's good. I'm really jealous, Ray. But, I'm having my own fun because I'll be driving around, going to Atlanta.
Going to Dollywood.
I'm not yet sure. We shall see.
Going to Cedar Park. Is that the big roller coaster place, Cedar Park?
Cedar Point. Yeah, Cedar Point. I'm excited about that.
Since y'all up that area, maybe Mike could take you there. Go to Detroit and see burnout Detroit, Michigan with mm-hmm. Government Motors.
That's right. Ride their cars. Anyway, okay, let's go on. We have some comments on episode 271 for the July ERB Talk HAB pool party. That's episode 271. It's actually from Zach. Oh, get ready,
I
Ray.
I don't stand a chance, dude.
Okay, from Zach. It's so funny that you talked about categorization, because when you were talking about bears/chasers, I plan to ask you about that. Honestly, I despise the categories the gay community has made for itself. I listen to your podcast because Nardville is so short and I can never listen to enough Nard. Ooh, I have a fan. Yeah, Nardville is my other podcast that I do. Nardville.com. Ding. Okay, so the podcast Gay Pimpin' is made up of obnoxious idiots talking about how much they hate bears. And I feel as though most gay people discriminate against people with a different or similar body type to them. Gay Pimpin'. Yeah, I kind of listened to them before. I honestly do find them annoying. Okay, so I personally don't
never
give a damn.
Them.
You never heard of them? I tried listening. Those are the ones that I tried before. When we started Bear Podcast and what other podcasts are out there? So I kind of listen to them I don't want to listen to them. Okay, I personally don't give a damn. I don't much like anorexics or over-muscled people, but other than that, I couldn't care less how your body looks. The only thing I'd actually avoid is someone who plays online role-playing games. I just don't
give a Johnny Lee's out.
Johnny Lee's out. Sorry, Johnny. Well, yeah, thanks, Zach. There's actually another comment from Zach. He's saying, how did Jon Stewart, the best Green Lantern, not get mentioned? Yeah, what's your comment about that, Ray?
About Jon Stewart.
Jon Stewart, you know, he's the African-American who became Green Lantern. But, you know, I think that's only in the cartoons. Was that also in the comic books?
It's comic books because actually I was actually reading the comic books out when some of my old Green Lantern comic books I got over here. I never really followed. I mean, I've always liked Green Lantern, but I never really followed it that seriously. So, you know, I grew up. It was Hal Jordan.
Okay, hold that thought. Okay, let's finish this. Zach's comment. He said, "Oh, and I win." Ha ha ha. That's what he said. That's what he said.
How does he win?
Remember, he wins last week. Oh, what is it?
I don't know. That was last week. I'm seeing it. I'll remember.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You got to listen back to it. He says that he wins. He said, we were asking Kevin.
Well, Zach, you're always a winner in my books. So.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Give me grief. Uh-huh. So keep me on my toes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he will. But anyway, okay. Back to Green Lantern. How did Jon Stewart come into picture? How did he become a Green Lantern? I don't remember.
Jon Stewart, the redheaded one?
Uh-huh. I know Hal Jordan.
The Guardians actually did – the Guardians chose him or something. It was something weird. I was actually reading the anniversary issue where they were talking about him, because it's the anniversary issue of all the Guardians and their female counterparts joined together and disappeared or whatever it was, which was – what year was that? Oh, my God. I don't know if my cord's long enough to reach over there.
Oh, are you reaching out? Don't. You might pull the computer. You might disconnect. Are you? Oh, sorry, listeners.
Let's see. This is the 200th anniversary issue from May of 1986.
Mm-hmm. 1986. That's around that time was when I got episode. What is it? issue number 206 of Uncanny X-Men.
This is episode 200, anniversary 200th issue from DC. This comic book cost me $1.25.
That was an arm and a leg back then, didn't it?
Let's see. John Stewart has successfully collected Alpha Ala Alpsa. God, I can't even say that. A one-time brother whose powers were removed when he became too human. While Hal Jordan has joined Silak, Chip, and Artesia for capturing Goldface and Lurian Dupo. And Guy Gardner, to whom you gave full authority as a Green Lantern. And it says in Green Lantern 195. So go back and look in Green Lantern apps, book 195.
Okay. I don't have that issue. I'm sorry. So, yeah, there are three humans. Hal Jordan,
I don't know if
Guy
I got
Gardner, and John Stewart. That's right. John Stewart from The Daily Show?
Yes, that John Stewart.
Okay, that's right.
So I don't think he'd make a good Green Lantern. No. I think he's a little bit too sarcastic.
But the Green Lantern is my favorite DC character. Wow. Well, anyway.
I got 191. Let's see. I'll tell you in a minute. There's 194.
Okay. Is that what you have? You have that back issues? Wow. Wow.
195. Mm-hmm. Let's see how Guy Gardner became a Green Lantern. It was a crossover from the Crisis crossover.
Mm-hmm.
From the first day he met them, Hal Jordan followed the orders of the blue men from OR called Guardians of the Universe. A heartbeat ago, he stopped.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then that's how he became Green Lantern? Isn't he supposed to be a crazy guy? He's kind of.
I think he's a little on the crazier side, on the hardcore side.
Hardcore crazy guy, yeah.
And he was in a coma or something.
Mm. And then, so there are three humans who became Green Lanterns. Yeah. Okay.
So I'll have to reread that.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, let's. We've got to wrap this up. And thank you everyone for listening. Go to comic-con.org to check on Comic-Con.
Yeah, and if any chasers and bears are going to be there and would like to meet up with me, email me at ray@bearpodcast.com, and we will try to arrange a time somewhere to meet, because I know that Friday night looks like there's some free time, and maybe Saturday, or I'm going to be there from Wednesday night on, so
mm-hmm. Good for you,
I'm sure
Ray.
We can arrange a time to meet and talk and maybe get your picture and get you on the podcast and mm-hmm. all that other good stuff.
I think you better Twitter a lot. That when you're there, you better Twitter
You're going to have to get the Twitter application loaded down on my iPhone and show me how to use it and get it all set up so I can Twitter while I'm there.
Yeah, okay.
So I can, like, I'm looking at Carl.
Looking at
Carl walked away.
No, you don't talk about other people. Don't talk about other people. You talk about what you're doing.
Oh, my God. I saw Stanley Lubitsky.
There you go. That's how you say it. I saw this hooker. Guy. I saw this. I saw Barack Obama, you know. Anyway.
Oh, my favorite. One of my favorite sci-fi actors is going to be there. Ben Bowder. Mm.
Are you saying
it's the 10th anniversary of Farscape? And I think he's also going to be on the. I think he's going to go to. And there's also, they got Stargate Universe. Mm-hmm. They're doing a panel with them. So he might be there just to sit in. So even though he's not on the show. But
it's not her show. She's still there. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. So I hope you enjoy your Comic-Con trip. I won't be there.
Enjoy Hollywood and Detroit and wherever else Mike takes you that he hadn't told you about.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. So, yeah, Dave, if you're listening, thank you so much for joining us. And, to catch him. You might see him there at Comic-Con. Go to comic-con.org.
Yeah. And thanks for all those dirty little secrets about Tyler.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, so thank you.
We actually edited all that stuff out, so it won't be broadcast because, you know, we don't want any lawsuits. But, man, I didn't know he was so wild.
No, those are going in.
Oh, you're leaving. You better not put those in. We're going to get sued.
Like what? Didn't say anything. But anyway, okay. All right, so everyone, thank you for listening. If you want to email us, send your emails to nard@bearpodcast.com.
Or ray@bearpodcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can give us a call, a little ringy-dingy, at 206-222-2222. 2-3-2-7. Come on, buddy. Spit it out.
That's 206.
Yeah, that's all. 206-222-BEAR.
Yes, and subscribe via iTunes. Visit us at bearpodcast.com. Leave your comments there. And what else? Oh, yeah, MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter. Follow us on Twitter, Bear Podcast. And we have our own individual ones, Nard on Twitter. And
my name is Hugh, as in Houston, H-O-U, Bear Dad.
Hugh Bear Dad on Twitter. Okay, so thank you, everyone, for listening. And we will catch you guys next week. And we'll send many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Thank you for calling Comic-Con. How can I help you?